In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Amen. Father. We're going to be looking at the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time, which is on July 28th. The theme, obviously, as we'll see when we look at these readings, is prayer. Most especially, in a way, intercessory prayer. But I want to reflect in this first part on prayer. Prayer is the lifeblood of a believer. Without prayer, there can be no energy in serving God, because there's no love. There's no knowledge of God without prayer. Whereas the whole point of prayer is to get to know God and to love Him. Now, I don't mean that in an abstract sense. I mean a deep spiritual love of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is given to us. But it's developed in us through prayer. And so, prayer is the life breath of the believer. Now, in our lifestyle today, there's so much going on, and it deprives us of prayer. And we have to, as of this moment, have the courage to stop that. That's all. Stop it. The ideal is an hour of prayer a day. And you can do it. I know many people, very busy people, who do it. How do they do it? They go to bed on time. And they sleep. And they can set the alarm to get up, wash, shower, all that sort of thing, and have time for prayer before the day starts. You have to fight for this. The culture won't help you with this. And certainly Satan is not going to help you with it. But the Holy Spirit will. But you have to have a time. Now, some people say, well, in the evening, just after supper or some, fine. But just so that you know that you're praying and you can see the results. How can you measure the results? How well do you know the Father? How well do you know the Lord Jesus? How well do you know the Holy Spirit? How well do you know God? That's how you tell whether you're growing in prayer. We're called to this, my friends. Actually, this is heaven, to be with God forever. And so, I'm going to be looking at some of these texts that are in the tradition, and then at the very end, discuss a method. It's nice to have a method, have a thing you're going to do. And there are four parts to that, and I'll come back to that. Now, here's a text from St. Thomas. Now, accompanying this light of faith, which illuminates the mind from within, there are at times, in divine revelation, other external or internal aids to knowledge. For instance, a spoken message, or something perceived internally through imagination due to God's action, or also some things produced by God that are internally pictured in the imagination. From these presentations, by the light internally impressed on the mind, man receives knowledge of divine things. God wants to make himself known to us. And there's nothing thrilling than that. I remember somebody I was working with, and they kept saying, I don't have time, Father. I just don't have time. I kept pushing. Then I didn't see this person for 5 or 6 months. And he came up someplace and said to me, I'm praying an hour a day. And I said, I thought you told me you didn't have time. And he looked at me and smiled. And he said, it got to be a hunger. See God's plan? If we start, he'll make it a hunger, which is a share in his hunger. He hungered to be in touch with us, not just in heaven, now. And it's there that we learn this, okay? I'm going to read this other text from Novo Millennio Ineunte, and then I'm going to start talking about the stages or the parts of prayer. This is from the encyclical Novo Millennio Ineunte. The great mystical tradition of the Church of both East and West has much to say in this regard, prayer. It shows how prayer can progress as a genuine dialogue of love to the point of rendering the person wholly possessed by the Divine Beloved, vibrating at the Spirit's touch, resting filially within the Father's heart. This is the lived experience of Christ's promise. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. John 14:21. If you've been listening to these things for a while, you know that's one of my favorite texts, because the Lord impressed that on my heart one day. It is a journey totally sustained by grace, which nonetheless demands an intense spiritual commitment and is no stranger to painful purifications like the dark night. But it leads in various possible ways to the ineffable joy experienced by the mystics as nuptial union. Did you know that the depth of your spirit is hungering right now to be in mystical union with God? That's the way you're made. It's that we keep ourselves distracted. We don't hear that cry of the depth of our own spirit for God. It leads to the ineffable joy experienced by the mystics as in nuptial union. Can we forget here, this is the Pope, among the many shining examples, the teachings of St. John of the Cross and St. Teresa of Avila? Yes, dear brothers and sisters, our Christian communities must become genuine schools of prayer where the meeting with Christ is expressed, not just in imploring help, but also in thanksgiving, praise, adoration, contemplation, listening, and ardent devotion, until the heart truly falls in love. We're made for this. We're made for this. There's something missing in our life when we don't have this. Okay. So, first step, you have to fight for the time. We are so busy and in a life, except for those perhaps who still are living on farms, the rest of us are a slave to a frenzied pace, which is designed to keep us from prayer. Okay, the four parts of prayer. They're the four parts of the first part of the Mass. When we go to Mass, first thing we do is repent for our sins. That's the very first thing we do. Then, after a prayer, we have the Word of God. That's the second thing. We listen to the Word of God. And then there's adoration and praise. There's the Alleluia and so forth, you see? And then finally there's petition. So it's repentance, meditation, adoration, and petition. When we have the prayer of the faithful, that's what that is. So you don't have to rack your brain to figure out what are those four parts. It's what you do as soon as you go to Mass. You start by repenting for your sins. I confess to Almighty God or whatever other one. But we have to really do that, you see. And then there's meditation. There's the three readings on a Sunday Mass, right? And then there's the homily meant to break open those readings for us, you see. And then there's adoration and prayer. And that's the Alleluia and all the rest there. And finally, there's petition. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. If you keep those four in mind, when you get to prayer, you'll pray. Now, as I say, let's go back first. If we're scattered, we don't pray. We go down and get down there to pray, and our minds are all over the place. Watch your mind during the day. These all get easier because prayer got to be a hunger, you know. I was working with somebody, trying to get him to pray. Finally, hadn't seen him for 6 or 8 months. He says, I'm praying an hour a day. I said, great. How did you do that? And he said, it got to be a hunger. Once the Lord is working with us, we hunger for him. We find the time. We fight for the time. We get to bed so we can get up and pray before we have breakfast and get plunged into the day. And we can lean back on the Lord during the day. And so, if you just think, well, what am I going to do now that I'm praying? Just think of the first part of the Mass. You repent for your sins, right? And then you hear the Word of God. And then you praise, hallelujah, and so forth. That's not the exact order in Mass, but and then you pray. Let us pray to the Lord. So, it's repent, meditate, and get a word from the Lord. Praise Him. Adore Him. And don't worry. Oh, Lord, I praise You. I love You. I adore You. And say, whoop, my gosh, just 1 minute's gone by and I got 14 to go. How am I going to do this? You'll learn. And as that first person said to me, prayer gets to be a hunger. But we have to fight for it, my friends. And there's no one who can supply that resource to us but the Lord Himself. We're not in living touch with the Lord. And fight for it. Fight for it, for your own salvation and for the church. The greatest obstacle is scattered mind and sloth. We just won't get out of bed. You've got to get out of bed. And if you, after a few good prayer times, when you wake up in the morning, alarm clock or whatever, you say, oh boy, I got to get out of bed. I want to pray. Holy Spirit will entice you because it's so important for you, for your family, and for the church. And so that's how you can pray. You can have it there, 8 minutes for each section, 32 minutes for prayer. Hopefully one day that'll go to 15 minutes for each section and you'll have an hour of prayer. Because the Lord will make it that way. It gets, as that fellow told me, it got to be a hunger. The Lord does this. He wants to win us over. He wants to have us pray. He wants us to know Him so that we hunger for Him in the day. Maybe even when you're at the office, you just sit back for a minute and close your eyes and commune with the Lord. Then you know how to relate to people, what to say. It's so precious, my friends. I pray for everybody hearing this thing that prayer and desire for prayer gets to be a hunger. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Beg Him from the beginning to make prayer a hunger, and you will see the difference.